So, Dhammacharini Vishuddhimati, all order members and my friends. I feel it is my privilege to be here amongst you and talking to you about my experiences of Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar and also my own experiences in the Triratna movement. I will quote few things from Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar and then say something about that. Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, he says that my whole intention of life is not to serve the people but to develop a system where all will get equal opportunity. It is to preserve their self-respect because it's only the self-respect which adds taste to the life. So, this self-respect, he was fighting for that. Whole of his life, he fought to have this self-respect, dignity, we can say. There was no dignity or self-respect to the downtrodden people in India. He himself suffered from this kind of thing when he studied in US in Columbia University. And then he was given a scholarship by the King of Baroda in Gujarat. But that was on one condition, that he has to come and serve in his kingdom and help the accounts and other things. When he was there in Baroda, this casteism, actually it prevented him to for doing the work which was actually given to him, because the servants, the peons who were working under him, they were not giving files to him. They were just throwing on his table because he was an untouchable. They were not giving water to him to drink. They said that you have to bring your water from your house. Sometime later, another pot was put somewhere and he was asked to drink water himself. Nobody was giving him water even. Not only that, in Baroda, nobody was giving him a room to leave. And he has to say that he is not an untouchable, but he is a Parsi, a Persian person. And he was living in that room. But Parsi people, they have nothing to do with caste system. But even then, they were affected by these Hindu people and they drove him out of his room. They said that you are an untouchable and you can't stay here. Then he went to one garden. There was the statue of Buddha. Even now that statue is there. And he sat there and he was crying like anything. He said that actually I am a learned person. I studied in US. Even then, this caste comes in between and I am not able to do any work. And there, a sort of declaration he made that he will not serve to the government, but he will serve to the society. And since that time, he could have become a lawyer, he could have become a judge, he could have become, I mean, whatever he wanted, he could have become, because he was having the education, I think in India nobody had that so many qualities, so many degrees what he had. But he decided that he will work for his society to uplift his masses, those who are in Maharashtra and also in India. So that was his work for self-respect. This self-respect was not there, and he worked whole of his life to have self-respect. It is because he started one satyagraha, one march going to Mahad, and myself and Vipul Kirti, just in the afternoon, we went to the place where in London he was living and he was studying law, barrister. 1921 to 22, he stayed there, and that house is purchased by Maharashtra government, and that is now, there will be a museum, and there are quite a few photographs of him with so many people, so many his lieutenants. But this, how did he come to London? In fact, again he came to England to and studied in the School of Economics in London. But that was not enough. He wanted to become a barrister. And he served in the college as a professor for a few years, and he collected money. That time, he used to say to his wife that don't spend money on any other things. I want to save money and I want to study further. And for 3 years, his wife helped him. His wife, she was illiterate. She was not knowing anything. But she was very helpful to Dr. Ambedkar. What she was doing when he was in London and he was in America, that time she used to go out and collect the cow dung and just help her family. When he was a professor in Sydenham College in Bombay, he got first of his payment, that is 300 rupees, that was a month. So he got that money, and he bought some saris and some clothes to his family members. And first he gave that money to his wife, that this is my first income. And she was so happy that she bought some clothes for him, some clothes for the children. But he said, don't spend money on any other thing. I want to save money and I want to go to London to finish my degree. What she used to do, she used to spend only 50 rupees a month, and 250 rupees she used to save. How that 50 rupees she was spending. So what she did, she didn't know this much, 50 rupees are this much. So what she did, one and a half rupees, like that, 30 some pouches she made. So one rupee 50 paise to be spent on one day. 1 rupee 50 paise to be spent on another day. So that way, 30 days means 45 rupees, and still she used to save 5 rupees from that even. So that was the help his wife gave to him, and it is because of that. He says that it is because of my wife, actually I could go, I could study, and I could become barrister. So his wife was also very much helpful to him. What he was doing, that first the march, he went to Mahad just to touch the water. because nobody allowed untouchables to touch the water. Dogs can go there, cats can go there, animals can go there and drink the water, but not the human beings, not the untouchables. So, first, what he did, he went there and he touched the water. And that was the first thing, that equality amongst the people, that he wanted to show that we are also human beings, you are also human beings. So, why not we touch the water, we drink the water? Because in the wells also, water was not given to the untouchables. They have to stand outside and someone will fetch the water and then pour the water in their pots. So, this was the condition in India and for the untouchables, to the upliftment of untouchables, Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, he spent whole of his life for this purpose. What he was doing actually, he was doing the allotment, so to say, of basic human rights. This is the basic human right, that we can drink water, we are also human beings, you are also human beings. And another thing, what he told to his people, the self-respect. As you might be reading from the newspapers, that recently in Gujarat, some untouchables, they were skinning the dead cow. And the people, the Orthodox people, Orthodox Hindu people, they beat those people because they thought that they have killed the cow and they are skinning the cow. But that was the dead cow and they were beaten like anything. So whole of India now it is disturbed because of that. And now these untouchables, they are coming forward and they have declared that they want to embrace Buddhism. About 500,000 people they gathered at Ahmedabad and they wanted that. They want to get rid of this dirty religion and embrace Buddhism. This was the thing these Gujarati people, Gujarati untouchable people, they are thinking of. So it is because of what? It is because that self-respect is not there. They just have to do all these menial works which nobody does. Even now, many people in UP and Gujarat, they carry the excreta of the people on the head. Still that is going on. There are no toilets and those things they are still doing. So this Babasaheb wanted to get rid of all these things. And in Maharashtra especially, he said that you should not touch the dead cow. You should not skin the dead cow or the animals, whatever they are. So that was going on in Maharashtra when he was actually telling the people. But in Gujarat and other states, he could not go much. And that's why this thing was still going on. And now those people also, they are understanding that this is not a good thing and we have to give up that. Another thing, Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, why he said that three things are very much important. That is, first is dignity, another is diversity, and third is democracy. These three things are very, very important, and he fought for these three things. Dignity, as I said, that self-respect is sort of dignity. But diversity in India, India is such a vast country, it is just like a continent. So every state is a different state. They have got different culture, they have got different activities, they have got different language. So diversity is there, but amongst these diversities, there is a unity in India. Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, he used to say that I am first Indian and last Indian. He was not telling that I am an untouchable first and the last also, to the last also I am an untouchable. He never said that. He said that I am first Indian and Lastly also, I am Indian. But nowadays, the government in India, it is pro-Hindu government. That's why they are, lot of atrocities are going on there on untouchables. And people are now coming to know that even though the diversity is there, they are fighting for their dignity now. Another thing Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar wanted, that is democracy. And this democracy is based, what he said, his constitution he has written, and it is based on liberty, equality and fraternity. This is not a slogan from French Revolution. He said, this is the slogan from my master, the Buddha. Buddha said these things, that liberty, equality and fraternity. And these things are embedded in the constitution, and the constitution works on these principles of liberty, equality and fraternity. So, in other way, Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar brought Buddhism through constitution, and now this is governed, the whole government is working following his constitution. So he was fighting for democracy, he was fighting for diversity, and he was fighting for dignity also. Diversity, he says, it should be there, it is there. We should not neglect it, because different people are there. But another thing Dr. Ambedkar thinks, that is the cultivation of mind. Cultivation of mind, and this made him to embrace Buddhism. He's, in 1935, he declared that he wanted to reform Hinduism, but Hindus are so adamant that they are not going to have any reformation. That's why in 1935 he declared that he's born as a Hindu, but he will not die as a Hindu. So that was the slogan. And that disturbed whole of India, that disturbed all other castes, that he is going to now give up Hinduism. And in 1936, he gave another talk in Mumbai, and he said that how that religion should be. I am going to give up this Hinduism, but how that other religion should be. And he was talking about Buddhism there. He didn't declare that he is going to embrace Buddhism then, but he was studying right from at the age of 19, not at the age of 8 years old, he started reading the Buddha's literature, and he was very much attracted to Buddhism. And finally, in 1956, he embraced Buddhism. But unfortunately, within 7 weeks, he could not leave, and he died after embracing Buddhism, just after 7 weeks. All people, that time about 500,000 people, they embraced Buddhism along with him. And afterwards, he died very soon. He could not do much about the Buddhism, to spread up Buddhism. Here, the role of Bhante Sangharakshita comes in. Actually, as we say, that he has given the birth to us as a Buddhist, but Bhante Sangharakshita helped us to walk on the path. So he is the man who taught us how to practice Buddhism. Dr. Ambedkar gave us Buddhism, but he did not survive how to teach Buddhism. He was not there. So this is the role of Sangharakshita in India, that we are very much grateful to him, that he taught us how to practice Buddhism. Even myself, I was not knowing how to practice Buddhism. I did know refuges and precepts, because I also got Buddhism. I embraced Buddhism in 1957. 58, Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar's son and nephew, they gave us refuges and precepts. Of course, we knew that, but we didn't know how to practice the precepts. So this is Sangharakshita. He told us how to practice Buddhism. That's why all Indians, they definitely respect Dr. Ambedkar, they definitely respect the Buddha, but they definitely respect Bhante Sangharakshita also. And now the movement is spreading like anything in India. Surya Prabha is there, and he knows the India very much. He travels, he has done some films also in India. So, how the Buddhism is changing the lives of the people, that is very helpful to the people. I can say one incident from my life, from my work in Triratna. I set up a center in Pimpri near Pune, and that was in 1983. That area, it is an industrial area, and so many factories are there in Pimpri area, and many workers, they are living in those localities. So I started classes, and some people, they were coming drunk, because drinking is a very very much common practice for the laborers. So one person was there, and he was not coming along to the classes. His friend was telling him, come on, let us go, that's a very good class, they teach meditation, they teach Buddhism, they teach Dr. Ambedkar. But he was very fond of drinking. Evening time, he was a driver, evening time he used to go to the toddy shop. That was his daily affair. So every Thursday, because that was the holiday for the factories there, so I used to conduct a Sangha night or a class there. And my friend, he used to tell that person that, come on, let us go to the class today, only once in a week. Then he was avoiding that person. No, no, you go ahead, I will follow you later. And then he used to go to the liquor shop or toddy shop. Finally, he got fed up that every Thursday this person is coming and telling me that, come on, let us go to the class. Then he said, come on, let me have some pegs, one or two pegs, and then I'll follow you. So he took the drink, and then to avoid the smell, he chewed some paan. In India, the paan is there. So some masala is put in that, and you don't smell. So he came to the class, and he was sitting at the corner. He was very much ashamed that, I mean, these people are listening to the chanting and to the talk, but he was ashamed that I am a drunkard and I am sitting here. What attracted him on that day, that was the shrine. Shrine was beautiful, and I was leading a study on Mahamangal Sutta, and he heard that. And after going to his house, next day what he did, he went to the shop and he bought some cloth, and he prepared one shrine, small shrine. He didn't know how to make it, but he made a shrine. And evening he was sitting on the cushion and in front of the Buddha. His wife said, oh, are you not going to your shop today? What happened? She said, no, I am not going to the shop now. I have given up drinking. And since that time, he gave up this drinking habit, and he is an order member now. So this is the change. I mean, we can expect by doing practice, by doing the refuges and precepts and practicing it. So this is a difference we are seeing in India, and many, many people's lives, they have been changed. It is because of, I should say that, it is because of our Triratna movement. Another thing, I should tell about my ordination. Our movement in India, it started in 1978, when Lokamitra, you might be knowing, Padma Vajra, you might be knowing. So, they came to India and they started the classes. They were living in lodge because nobody gave them the place to live. So, they were living in lodge and leading the classes. The class, that was the beginning of our movement in 1978. Class was such that one garage was there of a Christian lady, and she used to take her car away to the church from 10 to 12 or 10 to 1, and that garage was free for us to have a class there. And when she comes back, we have to pack up other things and then give that garage to her to put her car there. The shrine, we never knew how to put up the shrine. The smoky Buddha was there because they used to have wood for fire, cooking. So that Buddha Rupa was completely black, and that was kept on the shrine. No candles, no incense sticks. Incense were there, but how to put, where to put, we didn't know. We used to have empty match boxes and we put candles on it, and the incense stick sticking in the banana. Banana, it is common there. So we put banana there and stick the incense stick in that. So that was our shrine. We didn't know anything. Lokmitra, he used to just watch what these people are doing. He knew all the things, but he didn't say in the beginning. And then slowly, he started saying that this is not a shrine. You have to set up this way. And this banana, you throw away this banana now. You bring something, at least some pot, and put the incense in that. So this was the beginning of our classes there. As Bhante started in London, where was it?
Monmouth Street. Near the British Museum.
Near the British Museum. He started with meditation class. And the same thing in India also, we started the meditation class, but in a garage of a Christian lady. Her name was Rita, and her house name was Rita House. So that is the beginning of our classes. But people were very, very, very thirsty or hungry, we can say, for Buddhism. And then many people, they started coming along. Bhante Sangharshita, he came in 1979, and he ordained me on 1st of June 1979. Before me also, one ordination took place, and two order members got ordained on 1st of March. And I became a Mitra on 1st of March. My Mitra ceremony was done by Bhante. And just after 3 months, I was ordained as Dhammachari Chandrabodhi. So, I'm so fortunate that within 3 months I became an order member after becoming a Mitra. We can't imagine now that just after 2 months or 3 months anybody will become an order member. But those were the days we were actually just doing lot of works. We were going here and there. Lokamitra, Padma Vajra, they were giving talks, and I used to attain all the talks I used to work in government department. I used to work from 10 to 5 and rest of the time I was accompanying Lokamitra and Padma Vajra. And one more order member was there. His name was Kula Ratna. So these three people started the work in India. And Padma Vajra was there for a long time. Then he came back to India. And again he came back to England. And again he came to India. And he was there in Mumbai. He set up the Mumbai center there. And now you know that he is in Padmaloka. So these are the people who started the movement there. And Bhante used to come there. He used to give talks. In 1979, he came to India. 1981-82, he was in India. 1983, he was in India. And in 1988 and 1992. So these are the only five occasions that Bhante was in India. And he gave number of talks. And now I think Windhorse publications, they are going to print all the talks which are given by him in English. And also we have published in Marathi whatever the talks Bhante has given, and they are translated into Marathi. So we are also publishing a book. I think it has been published in Maharashtra. I translated many of his translations into into Marathi. So this way our movement started in India, our work started in India. And as Vishuddhimati explained, I wanted to learn more and more meditation, and I came to England. I was in Vajraloka for 2 years, and all kinds of meditations I learned there. I went to US, I went to many European countries, wherever our centers are there, and I decided to set up one meditation center in Nanded. On the lines of Vajraloka. Vajraloka, that time, it was only for men and it was only dedicated for meditation. And when I was in Madhyamloka and I was talking with Bhante, I showed him the pictures of the land, and he was very happy that he said that it looks like England. I said, yes, it is like England. So I want to set up one center, and I requested him that I wanted that center's name should be on your name. So Sangharakshita Meditation Center, I wanted to put that name to that center. And he did not reply to me. He did not say anything to me. He said, oh, let me think about that. And I was waiting and waiting, and one day, early in the morning, Suvajra came to my room in Madhyamloka, and he said that Bhante has agreed to give his name to that center. And I'm very much proud of that. That on Bhante's name, not many things are going on in our movement, but I thought that Bhante's name should be given to that meditation center. So now, he also put two conditions that time, that it should only be for men and only it is to be used for meditation. But slowly, he said that, no, now you can allow women to go there. Now you can have mixed retreats, you can have study retreats also. Not only meditation retreat, but study retreat also. So nowadays, we run meditation courses and study courses once in a month. So in a year, 12 retreats are going on there. But we have one big retreat, and we call it as Jumbo Retreat. So that is led by Vipulakirti and Shantisthana. For last 3 years, they are coming there and they are leading that retreat. 400 to 500 people are there on that retreat. So that's okay. I call it as Jumbo Retreat. So, I mean, not many facilities are there, but our Indian people, they are they don't murmur. They don't complain. They adjust whatever the situation is there. And many men, women and children, we allow whole of the family, they can come on that retreat. And we have got different classes, different activities for children. So children can play and their parents can meditate and listen to the talks. So this way, this retreat is going on. That retreat is free of cost because poor people, they can't afford money to go on the retreat. So we have set up that thing that Vipulkirti raises money and he helps to have that retreat free of cost to all the people. I have to say, I could say so many things, but the time is short. So, once again, I thank you all. And I think I should stop here. Thank you.
Thank you.